And welcome to this week's episode of Raph and Males Review the World, the podcast where we do what?
Review the world.
What does that even mean, though?
What we don't do is use it as a platform to vent our beef at various things in the world.
No, we definitely don't do that. What else do we not do on this podcast?
We don't use it to slight people that have slighted us.
No, we don't use it to settle old debts.
No.
Or get revenge on anybody.
Ooh.
I mean, we could use it for that. It's a great power. But with great power comes a great deal of responsibility. You know who said that? Spider-Man.
Did he?
Yeah. Have you seen Spider-Man? The film Spider-Man?
I've seen a film with a Spider-Man in it.
Yeah.
God knows which one.
Yeah, it's got the... You know the guy who was Frodo? He's in it, and he's Spider-Man, and he's like... With great responsibility comes with great power.
No, it was Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't Frodo.
Isn't that Frodo?
No, that's Elijah Wood.
All right, so what we do on this show is we take every single thing that there is in the world, whether it be a type of food, a film, a country, an emotion, a stray passing thought, a species of animal, animal. So we might do cats, we might do my cat, and we explain how we feel about those things, and we give them a numerical score out of 10, and then everybody else in the world just has a kind of easy system to go to know how high quality those things are.
Yeah, I don't know if we should do like a shortened version of all of this, give it more easy access to actually get to the reviews instead of having to trawl an hour.
I really can't. I agree, but I've been trying really hard to do this in the most succinct, easy to understand way, and I just think we're nailing it. I don't think we could do it any clearer and any quicker.
Yeah, because you could say that it would rule this whole endeavor pointless.
Yeah, and what really, I mean, it's not about us or what we get out of it. We're just trying to provide a service to the listening public and to the world in general. So at the end of this podcast, when we've reviewed everything in the world, there will basically just be a big catalogue of everything that exists and a score of 1 to 10.
Like the library.
0 to 10.
The British Library has to have every book.
Yeah.
This podcast has to have everything in the world reviewed.
Yeah. And we're to be fair, like we're nearly there.
Yeah.
We've got a good percentage of it.
We haven't got money left now, have we?
Yeah, no, we're getting there. We like to start the podcast with a segment that we call Other People's Wrong Opinions. Everyone's got their own opinion, but your opinion is wrong.
That's right. Yeah, we love this. I've had nothing but great feedback about this segment and how much people are loving it.
People are loving it to the point where they are no longer even disagreeing with anything that we have to say. Everybody just sort of agrees with it all. So we have got no feedback to discuss, and instead we are going to our old favourite, feedback from our girlfriends. We like to party on a weekend. And if I'm beefing, then she beefing. Yeah. She ride for me. We've got one comment each from our respective girlfriends.
Yeah, we do.
My girlfriend gave me the very constructive piece of feedback that when we are discussing obscure references to video games, it would be helpful to explain what we mean by those. Because, of course, any kind of attempt at a joke is made better by stopping to explain exactly what references you're making and what they mean. So for the uninitiated out there, I can confirm that the acronym DPS refers to damage per second, often used in multiplayer online role-playing games such as World of Warcraft or MMORPGs like WoW, to refer to high damage output characters who are often quite defenseless themselves but do a great deal of damage to bad guys. Rogues commonly are good DPS, possibly it's sorcerers or wizards, Hence the joke that we made that murderers would be good to DPS was sort of referring to the fact that they do a large amount of damage, which, I mean, is potentially in poor taste, and if anybody out there had any sort of, you know, bad experiences in their own life brought up by that joke, I can only apologise, and I'm sorry for dwelling on it more now.
Thanks for clearing that up. I mean, I was already on your wavelength before.
Yeah. I just thought,
extra,
you know,
extra on that wavelength.
I thought what we could really do to make that joke funnier is to just really, really get into the bones of it. It's almost like the DVD commentary for the podcast we put out a month ago.
I also liked your use of the acronym MMO.
Yeah, MMORPGs.
Yeah. I'm going to put a bit of a spin on it.
Yeah.
This one. Because there was one from my girlfriend, but also one from my girlfriend's dad.
Right.
And his, very aptly, his review was, stop talking so much bollocks at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And pretty much try and get into things.
Yeah, I mean, I can only really concur with that. I think that's good advice. And as I said, we're just sort of striving to do that as much as we possibly can. Which is why it's only been about 6 minutes. but we're getting through it, don't worry. We'll knock this one out. We'll knock this one out at about 45, I reckon. It'll be a tight 45.
You guys who listened to the episode 3 episodes ago are going to be loving that joke.
Yeah, it's real nothing, good callback.
Nothing but callbacks.
Like, what we're doing really is developing a sort of rich mythology for this show that people can really dive into. And it'll become impenetrable to any new listeners. But the diehard fans that have been there since the beginning, they'll really get a lot out of it. It'll be like, you know, that TV program.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, it'll be exactly like the Big Bang Theory. Yeah, that's the one. So, all right, I think that's been preliminary chat. Let's move on to some reviews.
Oh, boy. What? I can't comment without violating our agreement that I not criticize your work. What was oh boy? Great restraint on my part. Nothing wrong with the science here. Perhaps you mean a different thing than I do when you say science. Okay, how's that? You actually had it right in the first place. Once again, you've fallen for one of my classic pranks. Bazinga.
First review coming in hot and heavy. I think it's your turn to come in first. What are you reviewing for us this week?
So, as I said earlier, I need to stop using this as a platform to vent beef actually give educational, thought-provoking...
Yeah, it's not all about you, mate.
Yeah. It's something I'm struggling to come to terms with.
Yeah,
but
we can apply that to life in general. Really, life in general isn't a platform for you to just vent your bile into the world.
So what I'm gonna go for? Well, I tried to go for something a bit more thought provoking, I struggled. So what I'm gonna review is contactless payment cards.
All right, I'm well aware of them.
Yeah.
Got one, use it regularly.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of thought-provoking material to be drawn out of a discussion of the contactless payment card.
Like, what is on my mind a lot is, before I had it, we just had a normal debit card, credit card, whatever.
Yeah, payment card.
Yes, you had to put it in, you had to put your PIN in.
Yes.
That was a thing.
Yeah, and right? It was still kind of magical.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. It was still trying to destroy cash.
Yeah, I mean, cash is still kind of magical. It's a bit of paper or metal. You hand it over and you get stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I find it just so antiquated, though, now. Since I've moved to London.
But, I mean, compared to bartering, right? Because we started out, I give you a turnip, you give me some milk. I assume that's what they were doing.
I don't know if I would prefer that, maybe.
But that's real, right? Like, I grew this turnip, you milked that cow, and we're swapping those things, and you know what you're getting.
Because in a way, if you do that, then nobody really has a job.
Yeah.
In a way, it's just you've got something you do.
Yeah.
Where you actually create money. Like, everybody's job is to create money.
Yeah, I bet there were still, in those situations, some some fucker somewhere sitting on top of the pile who was doing nothing but was just skimming a turnip off the top. There was like a feudal bartering equivalent of PayPal that was, I mean, just taking like 3% of all your turnips.
Are you just talking about tax?
Yeah, I'm talking about tax and
dirty thieving, robbing bastards.
Basically, there's all the man has always
the
been
man.
There.
It's always the problem. It always boils down to the problem. The problem with the world is the man.
Yeah, yeah, and that's never changed. But yeah, we've kind of gradually become more and more. Traveled further and further away from I'm giving you a turnip to I'm giving you some physical money to I'm sticking my card in your machine.
So now I'm just sending zeros and ones through the air.
I'm basically waving my hand like a Jedi Master.
Yeah. So, what was I about? Yeah. So, it was just a nice little rectangle.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, they made it so you could just touch it on things.
Yeah.
Nothing has altered about the card whatsoever.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
well, could they always do this? Does someone just not be asked to flip a switch and have it happen?
Yeah.
Or were they using it for bad and now they're using it for good?
Yeah, because it seemed like the same piece of plastic somehow acquired
this magical
property.
Yeah.
So how long did it have that capability and was just sitting in my pocket? And what were they doing?
And how the fuck does it do it? Because what concerns me most about it is how nobody has done something really daft with it. Like, put it in a shoe, and then they're just going around touching their shoe on card payment things and paying for stuff.
Yeah, just going to a shop and, like, get your turkey club sandwich or whatever.
Yeah.
And they ask you to pay it, and you just go, like, pow, and put your Jordan Air Forces up on the counter. And then they're like, what are you doing? You're like, I just paid.
Yeah, like you. This
that
you
would
could
be a fucking smooth move.
You could stick it in loads of things.
Yeah,
and it'd be real. Like, I personally would probably have it stuck inside my hand.
Yeah,
and I'd just sort of just grab the machine and like shake it a little bit, and then it'd pay.
Yeah, start convulsing and pulsing with like psychic energy, like you're a voodoo master.
Yeah, that'd be my. That's what I'd jump to.
That's really, really good. I would. Well, ideally, I'd like to be able to do it with my eyes. I'm not sure the technology's gotten that far yet.
Yeah, I don't know if we could look. Yeah, I don't think it can be done from sight.
You what, if you put it in the tip of your finger, so you could just like shoot a business gun, like the phones go like, hey, and then you just like do that and it pays.
I like that. How about this one though?
Yeah.
You put it in the tip of a magic wand.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah, I suppose that it's just a piece of plastic, right?
Who knows?
You could theoretically cut up your card, remove that piece. Like, we could do that right now.
But what's the piece?
I assume it's that little chippy bit that you use in chipping pin.
Yeah, but I can't.
But then, I'm only assuming that because that's the only bit that stands out from the rest of it. What if you just squashed the whole thing, crushed it down into tiny cube, or put it in a microwave or something so it shrinks down? And then you just want it to be small enough that you can insert it into a knuckle duster and then start just going around punching payment machines.
Could you put it in a
bullet? Or giving them a little spuds.
Could you put it in a bullet and shoot it?
Or not in a bullet, but in one of those guns that just shoots out a little flag that says bang.
Or a little Nerf gun or something.
Yeah, that would, like, the possibilities are really, really infinite. And I think that they've done a bad job so far of just putting it in the most boring.
I think it's only a matter of time till whatever it is distilled either down to a gas or a liquid.
Yeah.
So you could cry onto the machine and pay.
How much? And then you just start weeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a strong possibility.
Yeah, there's so much space for creativity that they're not
one's utilizing this
yet.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of hybrid cutlery. Like, it's a good idea that it just hasn't quite gotten as far as it could
go. Someone just needs a kick up the arse. Yeah. And that's what I'm doing. I'm provoking thought.
Yeah. I suppose the payment machines could also
have a bit of a
rejig. Like, you could make that a dartboard. You could make the contactless a dart. And then if you get a bullseye, you get it super cheap. But if you get it on like the one, then you're paying double.
It could be a nice little perfect hole that you insert your finger in to pay.
Yeah, yeah. It could be any kind of hole that you insert any kind of thing into.
Yeah.
There's really an infinite space.
They could could tailor the hole to the experience.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And buying donuts. It's a donut.
Yeah. Ah. Oh. Yeah, that's where my mind was going.
Yeah, definitely.
So That was the thought-provoking section done.
Yes.
Now on to the nonsense.
We should really rename this podcast. Raph and Wales Have Great Ideas.
Yeah, I think, should that be our spin-off one where we do use it just for revenge?
Yeah, I think we've definitely got so much material to get out that we can spread it over two podcasts and really not dilute the quality of this
at all. Oh, God, no. This is, I mean, there's about 150% quality in this.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's always been our problem.
Yeah, I've said it since day one.
So come on and provoke my thoughts.
So that was it. That was provoking your thought.
Let me rephrase. My thoughts are too provoked. Calm me down with
bring
some
it,
nonsense.
Bring you back down.
Yeah.
I'm loving that I don't carry cash anymore.
Yeah, it's really good. Don't you feel like the queen all the time?
It's so great. Like I get pissed off.
Yeah.
When I've got, I was carrying around £4 in my pocket for 3 weeks. And I just got so pissed off for every time taking my jeans off and £4 rolling around in the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just went and I bought loads of shite.
Particularly because it was all in like Nigerian pennies.
Oh, it was fucking irritating.
Yeah.
And so I just had to I just had to throw it away.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm mad.
Chop change. Chuck it out the window.
So yeah, I'm loving life now because I can just literally anything. I can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And if somewhere, last night I nearly bought something.
Yeah.
They weren't accepting card. No, none of my business.
Right, you're not getting my custom then.
No.
I was going to ask, are there any establishments where you feel uncomfortable attempting to pay on card? Because there are some places where, like, and this is just like one of those weird hang-ups in my own head.
Right.
Like, I don't like going into the same shop twice in one day. If I go to the newsagent and, like, get some stuff, and then later on I'm like, I kind of want some more.
Yeah.
I feel guilty going back in the same day to buy more junk. But like in the same way, there are certain places like where I my inclination is I want to pay with cash rather than, like, if I'm going to the pub and only getting one drink.
Yeah.
I normally want to pay with cash rather than a card.
No, I love paying for things that are so small. Like,
yeah, that's
21p chewing gum. I'm paying on card.
Like, if it's in a big shop, like a Tesco Metro or something like that, then I'll happily just like, that's 20p, one pack of travel tissues or whatever, put it on a card. But in a news agent, say, I'm like less inclined to want to even attempt to do that.
To be honest, I wouldn't mind if news agents were wiped off the face of the earth.
Oh, really? Because Mails is controversial corner.
Mails is controversial coming back. Yeah, this is probably because I've been slighted by them. Always charge 50p to use your card. Nobody else does that.
Yeah.
Are you a small business owner? Don't be. Just don't be. Look, you've got all these pressures in life where you can't afford to put through card transactions because it costs too much.
Yeah.
Just let Tesco buy you out.
Yeah, that's a weird one because it must presumably cost them something.
There is a fee, yeah.
Does that mean if we continually just go into Tesco, say, and buy individual blackjacks and pay with a card, we'll be like striking a blow against the man?
Yeah, in a way, yes. But also, I think the fee is extremely low and it's definitely not 50p.
Yeah,
because that's piss take.
Yeah. I've also had a better idea, which is just shoplift, but that's an idea for another day.
Because where was that? I was in a pub in West London many moons ago.
Yeah.
Bought 2 pints for an extraordinary amount of money. minimum spend on card, £20.
Fucking hell.
No chance.
Yeah.
Out, left.
Had they poured the pint at that
point? I'm glad they did.
Yeah. That's definitely...
£20 fucking pounds.
That's ridiculous.
No, that... I think that is more of a slight than 50p.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those developments where, like, you can see that the expectation that everywhere will let you pay on a card is leaving certain small businesses behind a little bit because people are not less inclined to use them, or they're coming in and asking to pay on a card and a card or whatever. But like, that's the way it has to go, right? Because it's so much better to just have contactless than to have cash. Just doesn't make any sense.
Because someone told me the other day that pound coins are the most forged a denomination of currency at the moment.
Makes sense.
And they're saying that every time you put a pound in and it comes back out again.
Yeah.
I don't believe this, but they said it's because that's a forgery.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I've had it where I've put like three coins consecutively and none of them have gone.
Yeah, and they're all getting spat out. Yeah, that's interesting.
See, I'm provoking thought again.
You are
again.
Provoking thought, yeah.
But it could all be bollocks.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like the cashless future. Do you think this is all going to a place where like cash will just be a thing of the past?
Yeah, I think, because if you think about it, how antiquated and, you know, it costs money to produce it.
Yeah.
And keep it in circulation. Take the old stuff out of circulation. You can forge it easily. I mean, Bitcoin, man. We're going Bitcoin.
But what's that going to do to the black market? Like, drug dealers aren't going to start taking cards, are they?
They'll take a new form of currency. They already do Bitcoin, don't they? Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe then the smart move is to buy Bitcoin now that it's like kind of down the tubes, because real cash will go away, but people will still need to pay drug dealers and mercenaries and other like nefarious people.
Does like Bitcoin suffer from like fluctuations in the economy? Does it devalue?
It sort of does, yeah. Like, it was at a massive high a few years ago when it first, like, sort of people started to hear about it. It had, like, a massive spike because everybody was, like, wanting to get on board.
Oh, that was, like, the exchange rate was, like, one coin's worth 20 quid or whatever.
Yeah, or, like, thousands. And then since then, it's basically dropped massively. So if you bought a Bitcoin, like, 8 years ago, you'd have bought it for, like, 500 quid, say, and now it's worth about 50 quid, something like that. But if real cash goes away, suddenly, like, if you wanna pay your builder and your builder doesn't want to pay tax, say, or any other range of like variously illegal
things.
This
is how we stop big companies not paying tax.
People love doing illegal shit.
They do.
And people love like staying off the grid a little bit. And like, you can't do that with contactless. You need, if you want to get up to that, those kind of shenanigans.
I love the grid. Ask what can I say?
Yeah. Well, this is, I suppose I'm kind of stumbling into my own criticism of contactless, apart from their lack of creativity and how they let you do it, is all your shit is going to be tracked once you're paying on contactless. If you go into a newsagent and you buy Curly Whirly and you pay with coins, they don't know. If you're using your contactless and somebody's like, where's Mails? We want to arrest him. We think he is a terrorist or something.
Okay.
Or we just want to shut him up because he's like being, his opinions are too dangerous and his reach is too wide on his podcast and he's really threatening the man. Let's find him. They know where you were when you bought that Curly Whirly because they can see it.
So you're saying 984.
Yeah.
What a great book that was.
Yeah. It's all coming. And then, then they start flying the chemtrails directly over your path to and from work. Cause they know where it is. Do you use your contactless on public transport?
Yeah, I've
stopped even getting like a travel card. I just like, I think it works.
It's cheaper than a travel card.
But yeah, I don't understand how any of that stuff works, but like, I think it's cheaper or the same.
I've done some research for the first time probably ever in my life.
Yeah,
and it is cheaper.
Yeah,
because they travel cards calculate your cost instantly. These calculate it at the end of the day, so they can work out what the cheapest fare is.
Oh, right. But the downside, now they know your route to and from work. They know exactly where to put the chemtrails.
Everybody already knows that. That's true. Phone already knows. Because you know that new Google feature where it'll tell you how busy a place is?
Yeah.
It's doing that because it's looking at how many phones or whatever are in that place.
Yeah. And with all of that stuff.
So much CCTV and everybody already knows everything about you.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because of little bit worrying to know that people are tracking you that closely, but also quite good to know if like your route home is like totally wrapped up and you need to go a different way. It's
that's what they do is they'll introduce something that is an extreme breach of privacy and personal space, but they'll put something lovely and flowery on top of it to distract you and make you think, oh, this is a really nice idea. Yeah. Not that they are constantly following me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to look, if someone Googles Raph's living room, they'll be like, it's not that busy right now. There's only two people there.
Yeah. So this is a good idea for when they do start chipping us all and tagging us all. Just put it in like a nice flowery bracelet or something like that.
Yeah, just make it.
And we'll happily wear it.
Make it a cool accessory.
Yeah.
Give it some benefit. Like,
maybe they already did that with the Live Strong
Could that, yeah.
Bracelets things.
Well, they've got the stupid Snapchat glasses now.
Have they?
Yeah, Snapchat have brought out glasses that have got little cameras in them.
Like Google glasses.
Yeah, so people can just touch their glass, these glasses.
And it will automatically...
And it will just start recording and then upload it to Snapchat.
Fuck, that's
without
good.
Anybody knowing.
That's really messed up.
Yeah, see how you got it? It got you.
Yeah.
You were like, that's love great. It. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Like, the whole of the world is fucked. But I love it. But I'm terrified of it.
Let's just live in a cave and eat bourbons.
Yeah, good thinking. All right, so any other thoughts on contactless cards before we move to wrapping it?
It was making my life a million times easier. I'm so happy for it.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, the only downside is that so many people are, well, not so many, but there's certain places that are anti it.
Yeah.
Like the Sainsbury's near my work, I've stopped going.
Because
they don't contactless. They don't have contactless. They still want me to put my pin in.
Those.
Yeah. So... not getting nothing from them no more.
Yeah. I'll let off like a tiny news agent or like a Jerk Chicken shop or something if they haven't upgraded. I'll let it slide. But if Sainsbury's haven't upgraded, I expect better.
And but to be honest, it has benefited my life because now I've started going to M&S and I'm getting much nicer stuff.
Yeah, yeah. This is the whole like Londonification process is going well with you, mate.
Maybe I should do gentrification.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like we have been doing it.
Yeah, maybe this is it. This podcast is a metaphor for gentrification
or something. Yeah, yeah. It's all connected. We are the nexus of the spider's web that connects all ideas and things ever, and we realize that. You might be talking about contactless card payments, but at the same time, you're talking about gentrification. You're talking about capitalism. You're talking about society. You're talking about the world and everything in it. You know what I mean? Thought-provoking.
God, have I actually just done a real review?
Yeah, totally.
Wow. So I'm going to give the 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Drop the 2 because they're not creative enough.
Yes, yeah. 8 out of 10 to contactless cards and the brave new world we are living in. Well, that's a great review. And now, let's speaking of capitalism, let's sell some shit. I was hard. Time to get some bad. Just take what you fly. Everybody's spin them around. Hey, make money good. I pay for this. Boy, I pay for that. Boy, I pay for this. Come on. Nobody can tell me nothing. I pay for this. Boy, I pay for that. Come on. Boy, I pay for this. Boy, talk and talk and talk. I say, whole year I'm saving. Bourbon.
Oh, great. Loved it.
It's a shame we're not reviewing bourbons this week.
I'm not going to lie to you, we already have.
That's true.
Lightning round bourbons.
Oh,
it
really?
Was a thing.
Really?
Well, I think they went down quite well.
If we didn't review them very highly, then we really messed up. Because damn, that's a good biscuit. Alright, so this week we continue our ferocious run of advertising genuine products that we believe in. We had an email this week.
We did. After your, I don't know if you want to call it a cry for help, we did receive an email.
Well, we actually
received two.
We received two emails. We had one email from a Mr. Stephen Chicken. Subject line and email reads, hello, stop, goodbye, stop. Thank you to Stephen Chicken for that cock tease of an email. Again, our hopes up, thinking we would have something we could incorporate into our podcast that we do just for you, the listener. But we had another email as well from the Celine Dion boutique asking us to please confirm our subscription, which is either a ghost in the machine or one of you fine listeners out there have seen fit to sign us up for the Celine Dion boutique. So we went ahead and confirmed the subscription, and what we found at boutique.celinedion.com is a cornucopia of wonderful fashions from the Celine Dion collection.
Who knew? One woman.
I was expecting music. I was expecting the section entitled Music and DVDs. You know, I thought that would be there. All the hits, all the albums, DVDs of the Vegas shows, live concerts, all of that kind of stuff. You know, what you would expect of Ms. Dion. What I was not expecting was the clothing line.
And the handbags.
It's just beautiful stuff, man. Like, you know the bit in My Heart Will Go On where she, like, hits that soaring top note?
Yes. Yeah.
And your heart swells like Winslet's heart swelled when DiCaprio was hugging her on top of the boat. I haven't seen the film.
We've not seen Titanic?
No, but I've watched the music video quite a lot.
It's the same, same thing.
That pitch of emotion is basically what you're driven to when you're looking at some of these pictures of Celine on these shirts. They make you well up inside.
There's also, it's not, because I thought it'd just be women's stuff.
Yeah.
There's men's stuff as well.
Of course there is. She's an equal opportunity entertainer.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody in a piece of Celine Dion attire. I mean, a lot of them just say the show must go on.
Yeah.
Has something happened to Celine Dion? And she was like, no, the show, like...
She's just a consummate professional. She just keeps working. She's been playing Vegas every night for years. And in fact, I've just looked at the in-concert section. So you can buy tickets for... As with most artist websites, you can say, oh, where's she playing? I'll see if she's playing in my town.
Yeah.
It's just a huge long list every day.
Vegas.
April 4th, the Coliseum at Caesars Palace, Las Vegas. April 5th, Coliseum at Caesars Palace, Vegas. April 7th, Coliseum. And it goes on and on throughout April, May, into June and July. She's just always, always playing at the... Oh my God, she's coming to England.
What?
All right, this is now a new advert. Sorry, forget everything we just said. This is now an advert for Celine Dion's show at the O2 in London, England. Let's just see if tickets are still available for that. Tickets are still available, love.
They've spelled tickets T-I-X. I don't like it.
Look, like, we're quibbling with details. The one and only Miss Celine Dion is coming to London Tuesday the 20th of June, and also the, I think it's the day after, 21st of June. Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday at the O2. Tickets still available.
Are we actually doing this? Are we actually...
you can only buy 8 tickets per person, so... You're going to want to buy the full 8 and maybe get a friend to do the same so you can really get a nice posse together to go see. There's also, obviously, there are VIP packages, as there always are with a Celine show. So you can get to go backstage. You get treated like a true VIP. I'm just having a look to see whether any of the tiers are let you meet Celine. Because if so...
You're going to go all in.
Which would you expect to be a higher tier of package, Sapphire or Ruby?
Ooh. How about you go Sapphire, I'll go Ruby.
Right, okay. So Sapphire, you get a...
I can't believe I'm going along with this.
You get a ticket, you get a lithograph. I don't know what a lithograph is, but it's difficult to say with a South London accent. Lithograph.
It's some form of thing.
You get a shitload of lithographs. You get a limited edition... Celine Dion tour lithograph. You get a lithograph based upon original Celine Dion artwork, which I hope means artwork that Celine Dion did herself.
I'd love to think she did.
Those lithographs are printed on heavyweight acid-free fine art paper. You get a custom digital tour photo book. But I don't think on the Sapphire package you get to meet Celine. You get a gift bag with a load of crap in it. How about Ruby? Any better?
Sold out, mate. Don't tell you.
Ruby
with £275, if that can be used as a barometer.
Ruby looks identical to Sapphire. I don't really understand. Maybe it's just like Pokemon Red and Blue. For non-video game fans out there, they released 2 editions of the original Pokemon game. One was red, one was blue. They were nearly identical, but they had slightly different Pokemon in them.
A very good way to get people to either buy both or find somebody who got one. Encouraging... You know, people to get together.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, I think red had omanite in it and blue had...
I remember I had red.
You get different fossils out of them, right?
There was different fossils and there was different Pokemon themselves as well. There was one I want to say, it wasn't called Genghis Khan, but it was based around something.
Gengar?
Yeah. I think that was...
The ghost of some kind.
No, I'm thinking of the one that was you found in like the jungle bit where you couldn't...
Kangaskhan,
yeah. I think that was only in one of them. That was exclusive to one of them.
Man Pokemon was good.
Yeah, that jungle zone wasn't that great though because you couldn't fight. You just had to use bait and stones and it was a massive pain in the ass.
Yeah, one of those things where they try and introduce a bit of variety, but what they do that by just introducing something that's a bit worse than the rest of it. Anyway, Celine Dion at the O2, 20th and 21st of July. Get online now. Get your tickets.
Get a handbag.
Get a handbag while you're there. All right, that's been an advert.
Oh, Bourbons, we gave them 9 out of 10.
Yeah, we smashed it. Well done, us. We're back. And we are moving on to the second review of the program, that being my review. And what I would like to review is DIY.
I know this is something you are very passionate about, having known you.
It stands for Do It Yourself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it stands for.
That wasn't trying to be sarcastic.
and it's when you like... You need some new shelves or something.
DIY is predominantly used for shelf building.
Yeah, look, that's my go-to thing. I've never actually made any shelves or put up any shelves.
What's your proudest DIY moment, would you say?
Well, there's a difference between most ambitious and most successful.
Yes, that is a problem all too frequent with DIY.
Yeah, most successful, I put... I got some numbers for my front gate because people kept on not being able to find it.
Yeah.
And I screwed them in. That went well.
Okay. I was expecting something a bit more high level, but go on.
Oh, no, I put up a trellis. I put up a fucking trellis in the garden. That was that.
Right, okay.
It took me like 3 attempts over the course of a week, but I got there in the end. One of the screws is a bit far out.
Yeah.
Not all the way in, but it's stayed up all winter. So that trellis is doing pretty well. That's my proudest achievement.
All right.
Most ambitious, tried to put up a blind.
Oh no, it was the curtain hook debacle we had.
And no, not even previously. The curtain hook is to cover up my aborted attempt to put up a blind. I put up a blind.
Yeah.
Got really far through the process and then realized that there was basically nothing to, like the blind was up.
Yeah.
The issue was there was nothing actually holding it to the wall. So if you tried to pull the string of the blind, it just pulled the blind off of the wall.
How was the blind down. Up there?
It was in like a little bracket, but there was nothing keeping it in the bracket. And at that point, the thing is with doing any DIY project is I don't start out optimistic. I start out annoyed that I have to do it in the first place.
Right.
And then I just get instantly... really angry and frustrated, and I'm having a really terrible time. And so before I've even hit a problem, I want to give up.
There's something about DIY that is a great leveler.
Yeah,
in society,
like it just reduces like solitary confinement is a great leveler. It just strips away your psyche and reduces you to a fucking shell.
I think it's something where the working class... I don't know if it's a level. I think it's more that the working class will prevail.
Yeah.
And I sort of like that.
Yeah, well, like, what about your own experiences of DIY? Are they more positive than mine?
Yeah, I mean, I've come from a very DIY-heavy background with my family.
Yeah.
Growing up in the Great White North.
Yeah.
Yorkshire, not Canada. So, best thing I've ever done, probably hanging a door and then putting a lock and
really
a handle
impressive.
In the door.
Yeah.
That, don't ever in your life take a handle off a door.
You know what?
Because it explodes.
Yeah.
I never thought that was a thing.
Well, I was about to bring up the fact that my next DIY project is taking a handle off a door and replacing
be
it.
Fucking the mechanism will literally just explode out.
Well, you know how the bathroom door in my house, like, locks you in if you lock
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Well, it's... that happened again the other day. Another person fell victim to the trap room. And door's still locked. I assume the person in question is starved to death by this point.
Are we...
So I'm going to have to replace that lock, and I'm already stressing out about it, and I haven't even attempted
should you
to start.
Not take on... Have you not tried the advice of your wise cousin, who's an engineer?
What's
who
that?
Who said, if something's stuck, but it needs to move,
yeah.
Put WD-40 on it. And if something moves, and it's meant to be stuck, put gaffer tape on it.
Well, the thing is, when last time I took that handle apart, which I've done multiple times trying to rescue people from the trap room, I think it's just, you know, the slidey bit in a door that goes in and out of the
lock?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's been sheared in half somehow. So I don't think WD-40 is actually going to do it.
Do you think we should record an episode where we try and fix this door?
Yeah, like a practical...
I think that might be a good one.
I've got a replacement door handle coming.
Okay.
But like, I'm gonna have to take off the original one and put on a new one, and don't really know how that's gonna go at all.
I think you'll be all right because with a new one, you're gonna be all right because where I felt errorous was, I don't know if I said that right. It was just the door I was replacing, so I had to use the same handle and mechanism.
Okay.
Which had already gone into a million pieces and scattered itself all over the room.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
And so I had to try and piece this actual clockwork thing back together.
Yeah, easy enough to take apart.
And what I also, here's a helpful tip I found when I'm doing DIY.
Yeah.
Get a little bit drunk. It makes it so much more fun.
Yeah, I can see that because like...
So little shits.
My principal stress is just like... I just get so angry at the fact that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That my quality of work goes down massively because I'm just like, well, fuck this, fuck everything, I hate this.
So you're telling me you've never had the simple joy in life of getting IKEA furniture, getting some Copperberg, and combining the two?
I have done that actually, yeah. But I don't really consider IKEA furniture assembly to be DIY really.
Well, I mean, if you get something...
Depends how ambitious the piece of furniture
is. Yeah,
if
you're getting something ridiculous, it's like, I mean, if it's a lamp, then...
Yeah.
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 Then again, changing the plug. I consider that DIY.
I got taught to change a plug in school.
Yeah, me too.
I've never changed a fucking plug.
Oh, like, what? I'm always changing plugs.
You're always... What's happening to your old plugs? Everything's just got a plug.
I like to plug things in. I like to be on the grid.
I like to plug things in, but I've never bought anything that needed a plug that didn't have a plug.
Oh, no, I'm usually like, I've done it where a fuse is gone, and I'll just be like chopping and changing fuses.
I'll pop out a fuse and replace it, but that's not replacing an entire plug.
Tell you
plug.
What, there's something I did do, which could be massively illegal and probably killed someone.
Okay.
And I don't know why I'm admitting it now.
Yeah, we've come this far.
I got a... N64. No, was it N64? Basically.
Nintendo 64.
So yeah. A games console.
Games console. Came between the SNES and the PlayStation 2 GameCube era.
It wasn't from the UK.
You got an N64 from overseas somewhere.
And it had... So the power supply...
It drove on the right.
...wasn't standard to the UK.
Okay.
I had to put an adapter in to get it to work.
Right.
So when I sold it... They were like, we're not taking that. It's clearly US.
Yeah.
It has to be UK. We can't use it. It's not legal.
Yeah.
So me being smart, just went home, cut plug off and changed the plug to a UK plug so it had the appearance of a UK one.
Yeah. That's
didn't plug it in. Could have plugged it in and it exploded and killed loads of people.
Yeah, that's like something MacGyver would do to murder people.
Yeah. It could have... Very much, someone could have just inserted a cart into the top and just got electrocuted and died.
Yeah. Luckily, that was a fictional story that never
it
happened.
It was, yes.
Otherwise, the legal ramifications of you sharing it would be, well, who knows what they would be?
Yeah, I don't know why I did that.
Literally nobody knows. all right, so the door was like your, was that your most ambitious project? What was your biggest failure?
My biggest failure, biggest failure, I can tell you one that I did in conjunction with my dad.
Yeah.
There was a big failure. We redid the kitchen, tiled it, put new worktop, drawers, job lot, and he wanted little lights underneath the top cupboards to shine down onto the worktop.
Classy.
Yeah. So he was wiring it up and he wanted it to go off like a light switch on the wall.
Yeah.
And we kept flicking the light switch and the lights weren't working, but for some reason my mum was getting really mad.
Right.
And she was upset because she thought I was dicking around with the lights upstairs.
Right, okay, so the lights all over the house were like flickering on and
off. And just not the ones we actually wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest failure. And we had to get somebody in to come and actually sort it out.
I've just remembered my dad's biggest DIY failure, which was just trying to bleed a radiator in my bedroom, which somehow led to him like unscrewing a bit of the radiator and just jets of black, filthy water spewing out all across my bedroom walls and ceiling. And he basically had to like wedge a towel into it and then stand on the towel for the best part of an hour while we got an emergency plumber out to like... So in retrospect, we could have probably just turned off the water supply or something.
Yeah, massively should have done that.
But, you know, he was just stuck on a hot water geyser for quite a long time. So, I mean, my dad's definitely better at DIY than I am, but I'm not sure
how much he's necessarily better.
A pro.
Yeah.
For me, right, DIY, it's like something that, in the abstract, I like it. And, you know, I think it's good to be able to do that kind of stuff. I would really like to be able to do it myself. I've been trying to hang up a fucking hanging plant for a week and a half.
Have you got a decent toolkit, at least?
It's not terrible.
That's all right, then.
I've got a good drill.
Nice.
But I didn't have any drill bits. That was my first mistake. Went to, like, cleared the decks, got everything ready. I'm going to hang up this fucking plant. Got my drill out. Like, yes, I've got this really good drill that I've got on a sale. Let's do this. Time to drill some stuff.
Yeah.
No drill bits. All right. So that had to put everything back. Set me back a day. then put in a hook. Hook immediately fell out. Hung up the plant. Hook fell out. Plant fell down.
Oh,
man. Got a bigger hook. Had to polyfill out the hole I've made.
Yeah.
Got a bigger hook. That hook fell out.
Do you not have any plus plugs?
What's that?
Yeah, those are like plastic plugs that you stick in. Like what you do is you drill a hole too big, put the plus plug in and it'll anchor in and you can screw the screw into the plastic plug and it will hold it in place.
Ah, that would make a lot of sense. Now, what I've ended up doing is just getting an adhesive hook that you just like peel the thing off and stick it there. So I don't have to drill anything because I've got too pissed off with the idea of doing it. I was at one point thinking like, I wish I had somebody competent around to like actually do this, but it's such a small thing that I would be embarrassed like admit that I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. apart from in this safe space that we've got here. That's been like a week long project and it's still not done.
Oh mate.
I don't know where else, but yeah, I would like to be able to have done that without wasting a week on it and just have done it instantly and know what I was doing. But I'm not there. So at the moment, DIY, it's like a beautiful, it's my white whale, really. It's like a beautiful deer that runs through the forest.
To be honest, though, I think it will always be.
Yeah.
Forever, unless you are within the building industry.
Yeah, it's my Loch Ness monster. Like, it's a beautiful idea.
Yeah,
it's a great dream.
Everybody, I imagine, because that's very similar to what I am, I would love to be able to do more.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, right, I want to do that, I want to do that.
And I bet, actually, it's the kind of thing where you never quite reach a level of satisfaction because as soon as you're have a certain level of capability, there's always something more you could be doing. Like, all right, I know how to tile now, but wouldn't it be good if I could actually just plumb in this sink as well?
I need to set up the mains gas. That'd be great if I could do that.
Possibly my proudest DIY achievement, actually, and I don't know if it counts or not, is in my bathroom, one wall is basically a huge pane of toughened glass.
Okay.
Which Eleanor, my fiance's dad, installed. He's like super handy.
Yeah.
Which makes my complete lack of any practical skills stand out in even starker relief. But my contribution to that bathroom was helping him carry this huge, incredibly heavy plate of fragile glass up the stairs. And it nearly fucking killed me. And I had such a bad time. Oh. But I was like trying really, really hard to act like it was just fine. And like I wasn't about to drop it and kill both of us.
Do you remember telling me about the sand in the skirting board story?
Oh, yeah. Same DIY project, same father of a girlfriend. Being sent to sand skirting board with him and not actually knowing how to sand a skirt. Like, I know that you get the sanding paper.
Yeah.
Sandpaper?
And
you rub it.
Yeah.
And you maybe put a block of wood on it or something and you rub it. Brick. But how do you know when to stop rubbing? That was my question.
So I like to imagine that you just kept rubbing the same bit so much.
Yeah,
that
it's just a massive hole in the wall now. Like, yeah, it just went straight through. No, I was just kind of, I don't know. And that was exactly that thing of like, this is such a basic question that I'm ashamed to ask it. So I will just never find out and I will just never know. So I will just live my life in ignorance.
You just do it until it's a bit smooth.
But how smooth is smooth enough?
So when you're just not going to get splinters on it and it looks nice.
All right. Basically, I'm just going to start ringing you a lot to answer these very basic questions because I've just no longer got any shame in relation to our relationship, whereas with other people, I've got just nothing but shame.
Either that or just watch somebody else for a bit and just copy. Yeah.
But that's the trouble is my go-to solution is to go to YouTube.
Yeah.
But there it's just full of contradictory advice and everyone's an idiot.
I've so much pain in the arse on YouTube stuff because that's what I've thought. Look, there's all this wealth of knowledge. I'm going to look at it.
And you have to skip through 5 minutes of them saying like, hi guys, so like this person, actually we do on every podcast is like chat a load of bullshit about who's emailed in or who hasn't, which now that I think about it, your girlfriend's dad's comment of like fuck all of that stuff, it's like that bit, those YouTube videos where you have to skip through all the bollocks to get to
what you want.
Right.
Maybe we do it at the end.
I'm going to edit the shit out of that section. Cool.
So can I tell you about a terrible experience I had with one of these?
Go on.
So I'm playing this stupid game, survival game, and I had some dirty water, I had a fire, and I had to purify the water.
Right.
So I googled put a YouTube video on.
Yeah.
And the first 4 minutes of the video was the person who knew how to do it doing it wrong, going, hey, look, here's how I did it wrong the first time. Here's how I did it wrong the second time. That's not what I didn't sign up to see.
Yeah.
Hey, can I see how you did things wrong? Fucking idiot.
Yeah. So there's a lesson in there for all of us. So I guess basically where I'm coming down on DIY is that it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
Oh, yeah.
So I can recognize it's like a beautiful, unattainable thing. Like the Mona Lisa. Like I love it, but I can't have it in my house. So I think I think that equates to a 7 out of 10. Does that sound about right? 7 out of 10?
I mean, yeah, it depends how you're looking at it. I mean, are you seeing this as are you trying to attain it or?
Yeah, but I think really the struggle, my journey towards DIY is the real value. You know,
I'll know where both of you sit.
Yeah.
In the room, you're like, right, yeah.
I'm like a cat chasing my tail.
You've made your peace with DIY.
I'm like a dog chasing a postman's van. Like, I wouldn't know what to do if I caught it.
Yes.
You know who said that?
Spider-Man.
The Joker.
Oh.
and on that note, that's my review. Do we have jingle music between now and the lightning round, or do we go straight to the lightning round?
I think we do.
We should probably have a jingle for the lightning round. Here comes some music or something.
It's going to be... Oh, can it be the tune from... Oh, what, there was that DIY show with Handy Andy.
Yeah. Changing Rooms.
Changing Rooms.
Yeah, I'll try and find if there's a dubstep remix for that.
Nice. Or Soca.
Or a Soca remix.
going first?
Well, first of all, we're back, and it's time for the lightning round. Lightning round is where we do three reviews each, very quickly, a score and a sentence explaining it, and we throw them back and forth, and we don't know what the other one's got prepared for us. Why don't I go first?
Yep.
First good. Thing for you to review is succulents.
Ah, 10 out of 10. I think they're great.
Really?
Yeah, because they're minimal effort. They look wicked. Yeah. I like geometric looking things.
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect.
Washing up.
I'm going to give that probably a 9 out of 10. My favourite chore.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, chores are not the most fun. You have to do them. But washing up, I like hot water on my hands. I like having an excuse to leave the table and just go and be by myself for a bit. Particularly if it's like people have come round for dinner.
Yes.
And everyone always just sits around on hard chairs for too long and I just want to go lie down on the sofa.
Yeah.
I'll just get up, clear the plates and go start washing up. And then I've just got an excuse to go be by myself for a little bit.
Man, you may be onto something. My granddad always used to do that.
Yeah. It's like taking your phone to the toilet. You can just go have a little bit of me time. It's great.
Nice.
Tomato in sandwiches.
Probably 3 out of 10 because it gets in my beard and it always runs out the side and I don't like
it. Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
The green parakeets we have in London that escape from Kew Gardens.
10 out of 10. Again,
yes!
It's very positive this lightning round, but yeah, they're beautiful and they're cool. And why are they there?
They make me so happy.
Yeah.
Every time I see one, I like have a little tear of joy.
Yeah, they're brilliant. The Atlantic Ocean.
Which one's that one?
It's the one between the Americas and Europe and Africa.
Okay. Because there's the Med and it's in there. I'll give it 5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I've... Oh, no, I will have been in it.
Maybe.
Oh, no, even less. 3 out of 10. It's cold, it's taking a lot of lives.
Yep.
And there's better ones. Yeah. Better seas out there that are warmer. Yeah. I've been in warm sea. Warm sea is wicked. It freaks you out.
Yeah, murderous bastard, the Atlantic. And it took the Titanic.
Right, final one for you, mate.
That's for the Titanic.
Hairdressers for men, but not barbers. Hairdressers, like a hair salon for men.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I've ever been to one. But in terms of my abstract opinion about what they're like... 7 out of 10, I guess. Like, fine.
Okay. Yeah.
I suppose. Probably. Why not? You need to get your hair cut. Go get a cut somewhere.
But expensive.
Yeah, but, you know, if you've got the money for it and you want to spend your money on it, do what you like.
Or if you're an idiot.
Yeah, I guess that's... yeah, if you're an idiot and you want to throw your money away.
Yeah.
And you don't have the money for it. Or if you're just rich and you do want to spend your money on it, whatever. Just do what you like. Cut your hair yourself. Go to the hairdressers. Go to a barber. Grow it long.
Yeah. Shave your head.
No skin off my nose. Yeah. What did I say? 7 out of 10?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Solid.
All right. That is the end of all the reviews that we're going to do. Have we got any admin to talk about? Thank you for your email.
Yes.
And for signing us up to the Celine Dion Boutique. If you would like to get in touch with us.
Or sign us up for anything else.
Comments, criticism, suggestions for things to review. You can hit us up at our email address, which is...
raffandmails@gmail.com.
And how would you spell that, do you think?
D-O-T-C-O-M.
Yeah, that's how you spell that. R-A-F-A-N-D-M-A-L-E-S. And that is also the Twitter account.
Right. And that's Facebook.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening.
Yes, I think we should maybe say that more often.
Yeah, thank you for listening. We get like... quite a lot of people listening
to this. And for those people who don't listen, who claim to be our friends, well, a bunch of twats.
Yeah,
you're our real friends. We like you loads more.
Yeah, if you know someone who doesn't listen to the podcast, why not suggest that they listen to the podcast?
Yeah,
they could have a good time.
Do that and tell them not to be put off by the first 10 minutes rambling.
Yeah, you could leave us a review on iTunes. And if you do, you're in for a chance to get on our...
Oh, yeah, I've not checked iTunes.
You can be on our Crystal Maze team. We're going to sign up to be on a Crystal Maze, and the first 4 people to leave reviews, is it? Is that how we're doing it?
Do we need a team of 6? So, yeah.
Yeah. Although I think one of the 3 people is your girlfriend's dad, who I'm not sure whether you want him on...
I think he'd be pretty... He's a pretty practical guy. I think he'd know what to do.
All right. Better than either of us.
We've had no further reviews.
Okay, well, we've had 3 so far. So if you're the 4th person, you're on a team. Yeah. I'm not sure all of those 3 people have necessarily consented to being on a team. But, you know, it's implied. And with that, bye!
Bye!
Thank you.